Our attention to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16. Read verses 13 through 20. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16. Beginning verse 13. Let us hear now our God from his sacred word. 16:13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus Christ. May God add grace to the reading of his holy word. Again, we pray with thankfulness that thou would now open our hearts and minds to receive that word which we have already received. Lord, receive it some more and believe it better and harder and firmer. Grant this, we pray, because we pray it, we say it, in the name of Jesus Christ, thy dear Son, our Savior. Amen. One of the things that I treasure the most in my life these days is knowing that I belong to God through faith in Jesus Christ. And it's much more than that to me now. It's become much more than that to me now because I know more. I've studied long and hard some days. And I've come to understand better than ever before. And I remember a lot, not all of what I've learned, but a lot of much of what I've learned. And it's firmer within me. And one of the things that I'm treasuring this morning and comes from this passage, it reminds me, is what we have become. You know, we become Christians, right? We say, "I'm a Christian. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. I become saved." But there's more to it than that. We can use other words. Like, for example, what John says, that we have become, all of us, kings and priests. Princes, princesses, through Jesus Christ. You know, that's something I hope that you will remember. That you are a king, you are a queen, you are a prince, a princess, in Jesus Christ. The earth doesn't think that way. The world, the ungodly, the unbelieving, they do not think that way about us. They, in their better moments, pity us. But they certainly do not declare that we are royalty. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, as the apostle says. A chosen people, peculiar, special, a treasure, in other words. That you show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That is something for us to meditate on, to contemplate, to sing about, to worship. I want to remind you of this because I think that you are reminded far too often of worldly things. And it gets to you, right? That gets in you. It's very difficult to think that I'm a king, I'm a queen, I'm a prince, I'm a princess, I'm royalty, when you have the onslaught of all these things hitting you every single day, minute after minute, moment by moment. It's hard to remember who you are. So you come here and I mention it to you, but is that enough? I pray that you would make an effort this week to remember that you are royalty. You are special. You are precious. But the reason why is important. And that should be our focus in the remaining time. The reason why we are royalty, the reason why we are prophets, priests, and kings is because of Christ. And because Christ held these offices of prophet, priest, and king par excellence. He was not only a prophet, he was the prophet. Not only a priest, the priest. Not only a king, but the king, right? And it's because he held these offices. We are treasured possessions. We too are prophets, priests, and kings. But we don't hold that office officially in the church necessarily. But we do hold it before heaven. So I want to talk about the significance of the name Christ, which is the Apostles' Confession here. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. In verse 16, I want to talk about the name Christ itself, meaning the Anointed One. In the third place, I want to talk about Christ in the Old Testament just a little bit and why that's important. And finally, I want to speak on Christ, the fulfillment. So Christ, the significant one, Christ the anointed one, Christ in the Old Testament, and Christ the fulfillment. Based on this confession here, which is also found in the Gospels of Matthew, of Mark, and Luke, he said to them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." It's important for us to note that name, Jesus Christ, is very, very significant. It's significant because he's our prophet. And as a prophet, he reveals to us the purpose of God, the plan of God, the procedure of God, which is to redeem a people for heaven. As the prophet, he has come from heaven, and he, holding the office of a prophet, reveals God's plan for the elect, the chosen, and only the chosen, only the elect, only those whom God has purposed from eternity to live eternally with Him. And Jesus proclaimed that when He came to earth as the prophet. He holds that office. He also holds the office of priest, the priest. And as a priest of God, the priest of God, He is not only makes a sacrifice, He is the sacrifice. And He has to be the sacrifice for the people of God, because God requires a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice for the sin of the people. And the sin is so great, and the sin is so vast, so much. Only a great sacrifice will do, the greatest of all, the God man who sacrificed Himself and spilt His blood. So Christ is that priest, has to have that role for us. And He is not only a king, the king. He is the king. He rules over all of creation. He rules over all the affairs of men, women, boys, and girls. He rules especially over us. And He keeps us in sight as the king, as the ruler, the sovereign ruler. He keeps us in His sight, in His focus, so that we do not go off to the right, off to the left, so that we do not fall into the abyss with everyone else, going to hell and at breakneck speed. We too would go that way if not for the rule of Christ over us, especially over us, especially over our salvation. I've often said this to people who refuse to give God the glory, the sovereign God, the glory for salvation. Salvation, it belongs to God, not to the will of man, not to the work of man, as many Christians say these days. Wrong. Dead wrong, opposed to Romans 9, opposed to everything in Scripture. God saves in God alone. And He is sovereign over all, which many confess, but accept our wills, accept our so-called free will, which is in bondage to sin. It's not free. It's in bondage to sin. God especially rules over us. He's king over our salvation. And He rules well. That's in the confession of the apostle here. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Do you know what John said, the apostle John said, in his first epistle, chapter 5, verse 1? He says, whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed, is born of God. So that levels all the other religions, all the other so-called people, religious people, spiritual people. If you do not believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the prophet, priest, and king, you are not born of God. No matter what you say, no matter what you do, no matter what you will, you are not of God. That's pretty clear. Now, if I got on television and I said that, they'd get the hook. You wouldn't hear it again. The Jews are not saved apart from faith in Jesus Christ. First the Jew, then the Gentile. Yes, apart from faith in Jesus. And many others who have a good works gospel, who think that they're saved because they're good people, are not. or those who are waiting to get out of some place held over for a time because they didn't do enough good works. They may not ever get out, because that's not how you're saved. You're saved because you believe and confess that Jesus is Messiah. You're born of God. No human willpower there. There's no human work there. It's confession. And that's what the apostle did here. He confessed. But to say I believe in Jesus Christ implies not only that I believe something about him, but that I believe that he is the Messiah of God, the anointed one for me, to save me. He's not just out there the Savior, or out there the anointed one, or out there the Christ, Jesus Christ, the historical Christ. No, he is the anointed one for me. Prophet, priest, and king for me. As you can tell already, the name Christ in Hebrew is Messiah. And both Christ and Messiah mean the anointed. The anointed one. Jesus. What does that name mean? Remember I told you? I've told you this a number of times. It's easy to forget. I'll remind you. Jesus means Jehovah saves. Jehovah's salvation. That's the name. That's what the name Jesus means. Christ means the anointed. So Jesus Christ tells us two things. The name Jesus tells us who he is. Right? He is salvation. He is our Savior. The name Christ tells us what he is. He is our mediator. He is the office holder, the office bearer, the prophet, priest, and king who reveals to us God, who sacrifices for us and redeems us, who has control and charge over us to see us from here to there. Now, do you know why the Pharisees and the Sadducees didn't like Jesus? It's not because his name is Jesus. Jehovah saves. That was the name. Joshua, same name, means Jehovah saves. It's not why they disliked him. It's because he announced, and it was gradual. You notice here he says, keep it quiet for now. Gradually it became notable that he is calling himself Christ. When he was at his trial finally and the word was out that he is Christ, he is the anointed one, the high priest said, do you really think that? Do you really say that? They're saying you're the Christ. Tell us plainly. And he said, yes. And they yelled, crucify him. That's what they got angry about, because he said he was the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed Son of God, the prophet, priest, and king. That's what got them riled. And you know something? That's what gets people riled today. Not the name of Jesus. You know, there are many people that are named Jesus today. It's not necessarily sacrilege on their parts. A lot of Spanish people name their sons Jesus. Name's been out there, Jesus, for a while. That's not what gets people angry. It certainly doesn't get us angry. But what gets people angry, even today, is that he is Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the one that was expected of old. He is the Son of God. He is the only God. The Christ of God. The Messiah And that we cannot have. We cannot have just Christ. Just the Messiah. God, the Son, being a Savior. We have to have other religious idols. They don't call them idols, but other religious gods, goddesses. Other routes, other paths to heaven. It won't do to say he's the Christ, he's the Messiah. I mean, he's the representative, he is God. So why would you need anyone or anything else? No. So you have to deny that he is the Christ in some way, shape, or form. And that's what gets people riled, that exclusivity, that you mean to say Christ is the only way to heaven? Yes. Oh, that won't do. I can get there on my own if I'm a good enough person. He's the anointed of God. Now, just to talk a little bit, because this is, it would take too long to really get into this the way I guess I would like to. But anointing is very important. It's a very important concept in the Bible, in the Old Testament, for example. Anointing. The prophet Elijah anointed the prophet Elisha before he left. Remember how Elijah left? In a chariot of fire. He didn't die. He was taken up into heaven in a chariot of fire, like Enoch. He's up there, body and soul, along with Jesus, along with those who rose from the grave when Jesus died. And a few others, perhaps Moses. But anyway, the prophet anointed the prophet to be, to take his place. Remember, Moses was told by God that I want you to anoint Aaron, your brother, and his sons, consecrate them with the oil of anointment as priests to serve me in the house. The anointed, the kings were anointed with oil. Samuel anoints David. And when David was anointed, even he was anointed king, and Saul was ousted as king because he was a madman, David would not dare lift a finger against Saul when he was encouraged. Just do away with this guy. He's a madman. He's after you. He has chased you across the mountain, over the mountain like a partridge. You know, like a bird in hunt. He's chased you, and you're going to let him live. David says, I will not lift a hand against God's anointed. Anointing is very important in the Bible. And it would do us well to remember that. What does anointing do? Well, firstly, the first thing that I want to point out about anointing, other than that which I have already, is that it means that the person is not, you know, he doesn't lift up himself. He's not an independent. He doesn't proclaim, as many of these ministers and past so-called pastors and people of God say, so-called people of God say, I'm a prophet, I'm a pastor, I'm an elder, I'm an apostle, whatever. They kind of lift themselves. No, the anointing made it proper. It said that this person has been chosen by God, anointed by him for that office, This is not self-proclaimed when we're anointed. We're chosen. We're special. It's of God. The other thing about the anointing, which the purpose of anointing was, once it's done, it's forever. You're anointed of God forever. Now, you can dishonor that, and you could be defrocked and all, but it has to be, it's a process there. You just don't say, well, you're not a minister, you don't deserve to be a minister, you don't deserve to be an elder, you don't, you know, you got to move on or something like that. You don't say that to God's anointed. What's wrong with you? You don't understand what anointed means. It also means this, that when they were anointed in the Old Testament, for example, a prophet was anointed or a priest or a king, it means that he was qualified to take that office, that position, not by man, but by God. God had qualified him. You see? And it all comes from Christ. Christ is the anointed prophet, priest, and king, because Christ was clearly forever and qualified to be all that. He is the office bearer. He is the anointed. That's what his name means. And all the anointments of prophets, of priests, and kings, all in the Old Testament, were looking towards Christ. They were figures. They were pointing to Christ, the anointed. They were in the line of Christ. You see how important anointing is? Now, what does anointing do, the oil of anointment? Well, that we know from the scripture. I don't have time to unpack it all. But it was a symbol of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was being poured out upon that person for that job, for that office. Again, it's not self-appointment. It's God's appointment. Remember, David would not lift a hand against the anointed, even though he's a madman. How dare you? Now, in the New Testament, we don't have the oil of anointment because we have the Holy Spirit poured out. And he has anointed all of us as royalty. And some of us as deacons and elders and ministers. Not by our own selection, our own likes and dislikes, but by him. It's all according to him. And it's all pointing towards the anointment of Christ, the office bearer. And it speaks this way. The psalmist, and if you read David, I don't want to do that because we'll run out of time, but David in the Psalms, the Lord talks to David that he will be a king forever, that he will hold sway from sea to sea. It's obviously speaking of Christ. Remember what Isaiah said? Just to point this out real quick. Isaiah 61, verse 1. Don't turn to it. I'll read it. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. This is Isaiah. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to open the prison to them that are bound. He's speaking of Christ. The prophet is speaking of Christ. The psalmist is speaking of Christ, the king. The priests are all anticipating through their sacrifices, blood sacrifices, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. And so clearly, brothers and sisters, he is the fulfillment of the entire Old Testament. And it's revealed to us that he is that fulfillment in the New Testament. So I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, to read your Bibles more, to study more, to be careful with Scripture, to don't go along with the error of the day, the opinions of many, just like I have warned my children growing up, that when you watch television and you're listening to anything or anyone on television, be suspect. Do not believe it. Even if it agrees with you, be careful. The most accurate thing on television is the weather. And you could take that. It's entertainment. It's purposed. It's planned. It's plotted, if you will. There's a reason for it. There's a reason why these people want to get on television and say whatever it is they're saying. Don't be manipulated. Be careful. And as Christians, you need to be careful too. There are all kinds of people saying all kinds of things in the name of Christ about the Bible that they don't even understand. Be careful, brothers and sisters. Go home and examine what has been said, even here, and make sure, like a good Berean did, that these things which are said are true. That Christ is the fulfillment, because he is the anointing, the anointed one, the Messiah, the Son of God. And we have him. Brothers and sisters, we have him and hold him near and dear in our hearts. Oh, that's your treasure. That's your treasure. You have Jesus Christ, and you are a prophet, a priest, and a king, ordained and precious. Let us pray. Heavenly Lord, we thank you for this day. It's a sunshiny day. It's a beautiful day. Yes, it is indeed. And it is a beautiful day for us, Lord, because we have heard your word, because we believe your word, because your word makes us shine in, as it were, the night sky, like a star. We are stars in the night sky. Oh, I know that it's not go to our heads, and we have to be humble. Of course, we heard about that. But it is. We are bright and shining stars as we embrace more and more Christ, as Christ become evident in our lives. Lord, make it so. May we shine brightly for Jesus. Because we are. We are wonders. Marvelous. Because of your amazing grace. In Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Let's sing a hymn familiar to many of us. Hymn 42, El Shaddai. Hymn 42. Let's rise up.